between the Town of Catskill and Spectrum Northeast LLC, excuse me, an indirect subsidiary of Charter Communications. A copy of the agreement is available for public inspection during normal business hours at the Town Clerk's Office, 439 Main Street, Catskill, New York, and the Town of Catskill's website, www.townofcatskillny.gov. As such public hearing, all people will be given an opportunity to be heard, written, and oral statements will be taken at that time. Time limitations may be imposed for each oral statement necessary by order of the Catskill Town Board, Elizabeth Lizzo, Town Clerk, April 2, 2025.
Thank you, Liz. Is there any public comment regarding the Spectrum franchise agreement with the Town of Catskill? Any public comment? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
Motion.
Second.
Motion by Jared, second by Dawn. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Might as well stay right there. And can I have a
motion to allow the supervisor to sign the franchise agreement with Spectrum?
Motion by Jared, second by Brian. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. So we just have it's a workshop. We just have a few things to go through, and then we'll get to you guys. So earlier this morning, I received three recommendations from George June to hire, he's part-time? Three permanent part-time EMTs for the Town of Catskill: Cameron Sosa, Jennifer Jonette, and Alana Columbus. He would like their start date to be the 20th of this month, with a probation period of April 20th to October 20th. Hourly rate of $21.55 an hour. If we choose to approve this, it'll be contingent on a positive or a negative drug test.
So it is 420.
What?
The date's 420 and it's passing the drug. Motion.
Motion to approve all three by Jared, second by Brian. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. I don't know how we didn't get that.
Odd that he chose four.
Yeah. All right. With the ongoing theme of our elevator upgrades, we have a quote from Doyle Security for $3,500 to do the fire alarm system in conjunction with Otis and Cardinal Electric. Can I have a motion to approve this?
Make a motion.
Motion by Jared, second by JR. All in favor?
Aye. So just, I don't know if everyone understands what this is. Put sensors so the elevator doesn't open on a floor that has an active fire. It'll go down to another level that doesn't have a sensor reading a fire.
And that's all required by New York State Fire Code.
Yeah.
We've been working with New York State Smoke Free Coalition, I believe is their name, for quite a few years. I forgot the lady's name, but she was here about a month and a half ago and did a presentation for us to update our policy for our parks. So we have an updated policy. It's cut and dry. It's basically, you know, this is the one that everybody has in front of them, is what the county adopted. So I'd like to adopt this with the Town of Catskill. This would make our parks, which we only have one, but we're in the process of having a second one up in Palinville, thanks to JR. I'd like to adopt this policy to fit the Town of Catskill for our parks, with no smoking at all at any time in our parks, including marijuana and
e-cigarettes.
Motion.
It's motion.
Motion by Dawn, second by JR. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. And then we'll get, I think we decided on what, 8? How many signs did we want? 8 or 12? We'll get 12?
Yeah,
then we can put them up in. Okay. Mm-hmm. The signs are free. They'll provide them. Just a reminder that Little League opening day is next Saturday. We have a recommendation from Mark Mizell, who's the guy at the cemetery, to hire Billy O. as part-time seasonal effective
April 14th?
Yeah, I think it'll be tomorrow because
17th.
He got it to us late. So it'll be effective tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Motion.
That's fine. Second.
Motion by Jared, second by JR. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Mark would also like to advertise for a second part-time helper for the cemetery. So if we can get that out, and then we can
interview
and hire by our May 6th meeting.
Yeah.
So motion for that?
Motion.
Motion by Dawn, second by JR, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Liz, what's Pat's last name? Esposito?
Yes.
Pat Esposito, who's been working with us and the cemetery crew for a couple of years now, she actually started with Dale, has been planting trees in the cemetery. She's asking us to, put some money in the budget next year for some more trees in the cemetery. So I told her I'd bring it up. We can also...
So on that note, I really want to meet with the cemetery directors and hammer out a memorial tree program where families can make a donation, pick out one of five different trees that we have in a book or whatever that are conducive to that area, and plant a memorial tree. I think one, that'll give the families something in the cemetery to visit, and two, it'll save the taxpayers from having to buy trees.
I agree, 100%. And I know we talked about
and
that.
And talking to Ms. Lennon at Mills Plot, they do a tree program, it's just not planted here. So okay. If we came up with our own program, she thinks it would be a big...
Okay. I like that. All right. Last Monday, Matt Carlisle, who's the code enforcement officer, myself, met with Palenville Fire Department, a couple of their commissioners and their chiefs. Just went over a bunch of issues up in Palenville that they had. Matt was spot on everything that they brought up. He had answers for whether it's in front of code right now or he knew about it, violations, and he was working with the owners. One thing that they did bring up is they would like us to think about putting signs on vacant buildings to signify that they're vacant, having something in our sign law requiring that, as well as Airbnbs. So I told him I'd bring it in front of the board for us to think about.
Isn't there something that already requires the 9/11 signs?
There's nothing that requires the 9/11 signs.
Oh, because I thought the county did that.
The county will give you a 9/11 sign for your address. But there's nothing in black and white requiring that a homeowner has a 9/11 sign.
I thought there was with new construction.
Yeah. Is there?
Yeah, because I had to get one in 2020.
Okay.
I don't have one on Old Kings Road, but in Birchwood Park in Palenville, you had to have one. So I don't know. Right. And I shouldn't say you had to have one, but I was told you had to have one. So.
Yeah, and it didn't necessarily have to be the 4x6 red.
Right, you have to have your address. One.
Yeah, it just has to be conspicuously posted.
They would like the green signs that the county handed out when Harry Sapple was around. Yeah, a uniform sign.
Yeah, mine's red.
Okay.
Oh, the vacant buildings thing is a good idea. I'm not sure with the Airbnbs if we have this whole code office. You drive around to the 150 Airbnbs. I mean, when we do the inspection annually.
Yep, you make it part of their permit.
Make it part of their permit.
Or part of their renewal.
Part of their renewal.
That they're supposed to be doing with the application.
Yeah. But it also... Some private homeowners may not want to have that on their house.
Understood.
Especially ones that live in it and they rent out part of their home or something.
Yep. I know we also talked about a while ago when we were doing the solar law to have some kind of signage on the houses that have solar panels as well.
Yeah, mine has the state required.
Is there a placard?
It's just a red sticker on the box outside warning.
Yeah, I think okay. I'll have one going out.
Yeah, I think that's a state requirement.
Okay. All right. I received a phone call from Sean Beers, who's the highway superintendent. He's looking to purchase a 2012 2500 Chevy 4x4 pickup truck from Henderson Oil. Jack went and checked it out, said the thing is immaculate.
Yeah, it's to replace the old yellow truck that we surplused. So we currently don't have just a runaround truck for the guys that are doing mowing and stuff. Jack checked it out, and Sean brought up a good point to me too. We'll surplus the box is going to get surplus because you're going to put a flatbed on it. The slide and dump's going to get surplus, and so is the plow. So at the end of time, we might get a couple grand for that stuff, so the truck really won't cost us the full 11,000.
Yeah. And this will come out of his equipment line.
Is that outer, is it at or below what fair market value would be, you think?
I think it's below. 12 is tough without seeing the vehicle myself, yeah. But Jack, the frame is impeccable.
Yeah, Jack knows
what he's... Yeah. So I would motion to approve the allow the highway superintendent to spend $11,000 on a 2012 three-quarter ton Chevy.
That's motion by Jared, second by JR, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. All right, last on here is tonight, if the board so chooses, I'd like to start the seeker process for the cell phone tower local law. So the town board needs to declare itself lead agency. It's a type one, so it'll be a coordinated review. I know we just got the law today, but we have plenty of time. Our public hearing, the public hearing for it's not till May 6th.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Okay, motion by Jared.
I'll say it.
Second by Brian, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. And Liz, from Adam's email, I have the Village Green County Planning Board, DEC, New York DOT, New York Parks, and Alana. Mm-hmm. Am I missing anybody?
No, I don't believe so.
I think that's it.
Does that have anything to do with it?
Question though, is this going to be a separate local law from the other ones that you want to do with the town code changes?
I believe that's what it was. Separate
then?
Yep.
Yeah,
Does the mountaintop have any say? Because they were involved with the...
So did you want to schedule that public hearing for that?
The Dollar General.
The 6th. Don't we have it already scheduled for the 6th?
It was a recommendation by Ted.
Yeah.
Okay. So I need a motion to schedule a public hearing for the cell phone tower local law for May 6th.
Motion.
Motion by Dawn.
Second.
Second by Brian. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
No, the only question is because with the Dollar General, the mountain was involved.
If they need to be...
some sort of view shed or something, I don't know what it was.
This is a local law, so it's a little different from a zoning.
Yeah.
All right. That's all that I had. Do you want to jump into...
Elevator? Oh, let's do the priest. Yes.
Great.
Greetings.
How's it going? So, since you guys don't have a screen, I'll just show you guys on my laptop, and I can
state
send
your
you...
name. We have
in that line. Yep. So my name is Alex Panagiotopoulos. I'm with the New York Energy Alliance, and we're a statewide group that advocates for affordable and reliable energy for New Yorkers. And I'm here tonight, I emailed Councilman Kozlowski, and is that the right way to say it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Basically became aware that you guys are being pressured to endorse a very risky plan to take over Central Hudson Utility, which serves thousands of households in this area and serves a much larger area in the Hudson Valley. So our group, we have a strong position on this, that towns should not only say no to this proposal, because people are being pressured to unconditionally support it, but we're also encouraging towns to not only say no, but also to ask the state to put together an actual energy policy that makes sense for New Yorkers. And I'll just go through this. And also we have a couple people from the IBW here.
I just forwarded this to all of you.
Okay, thank you. So I have a couple people here from the IBW as well, who are the actual people that work on the lines and of Central Hudson, who do not support this proposal either. So I already introduced New York Energy Alliance. The reason why we're here is that the people that are pushing the HVPA, the Hudson Valley Power Authority, are pressuring you to pass a resolution that supports their takeover of Central Hudson. The people that are doing that, though, they have no idea if their proposal will actually lower people's energy bills. They're just saying that because there's no profit motive, that the bills will magically go down, changing nothing else. So what I'll actually show you in this presentation is that their plans for the utility, once they take it over, could actually massively increase people's costs far more than what it would save. So right now in Catskill, I probably don't need to tell you guys, but Greene County is a major target for the climate law because they want to shove all the utility scale solar in Greene County. So there's a lot of land use battles. Even though we're building all the solar, energy bills keep going up. So why are energy bills going up? So if you look at the rate filings that Central Hudson has put out there when they ask for more money from the state, they have to list out what they're using the money for. And what they're saying in these rate filings very clearly is that the state's climate mandates are unfunded and that the law, the climate law of New York State, called the CLCPA, it was written specifically to pass the costs of the climate transition onto ratepayers, which is why people now are screaming about their bills. So, for example, transmission upgrades for renewables, just starting that process is going to cost close to $250 million. They've gotten approval to spend $20 million a year on leak-prone gas pipe replacements. So we don't want leaky pipes, so they have to spend money to replace them. Electrification incentives, so to encourage people to buy electric cars, get heat pumps, that costs money too. And a number of other things. So 2024 alone, we can estimate that Central Hudson is spending $75 million to meet these climate mandates. And that all comes from us, the ratepayers. So the people that are running around, the socialists, they're claiming that the CLCPA actually doesn't cost any money. The climate transition is actually going to save us money. That's what they're saying. People in their coalition, they're saying the upstate towns must be overruled for the climate. So if you look at how these people talk to each other, a lot of them are from New York City, and they talk about upstate landowners, and they say that they have to be bulldozed because we don't want solar farms on every farm. We don't want to cut down our forests for solar. They're also claiming public ownership alone will make energy cheaper. So if you look at their numbers and their proposal, they say that a public takeover is going to save $50 million a year. And that's because a public utility can borrow money cheaper than Central Hudson can. Central Hudson has to pay a higher interest rate. So because of that trick, they're going to save about $50 million a year. And if you break that out per customer, if their takeover went completely smoothly and they just did everything, perfectly, it might save the average person $167 a year, so about $10 a month on what is usually a $200, $300, $400 bill. However, if they actually get control of the utility and they run it the way that they say they're going to run it, it's actually going to cost far more than what we'd save in these borrowing costs. So what they want to do is make the Hudson Valley the absolute leader in the climate transition. So what they would do is, and this is all all stuff that they talk about in their presentations, they want to triple the transmission capacity because if we're going to run on 100% renewables, we need a lot more transmission capacity at peak times. So like middle of the day when solar panels are all going, that energy has to go somewhere, and that's why they have to triple the transmission capacity. So that might cost $2.5 billion. They've already have plans in place where they say that they're going to, within 2 years of taking over the utility, they're going to start moving towards decommissioning the entire gas system. So that means 90,000 gas customers in Central Hudson service territory. I know in the town of Catskill, I think there's something like 500 to 1,000 gas customers who have chosen gas. But what they're going to do is say, all right, we're cutting off these gas lines. You have to electrify. You have to make these upgrades to your home. Once they move everyone off of natural gas, then we're going to also have to buy 30% more electricity because obviously, during the winter to heat your home or to cook with or, heat up your water, you're going to need more electricity for that. So that's another $1.5 billion. So what are we at already? We're at $7.5 billion.
Well, what about the costs associated for the homeowners that have natural gas to convert everything to electric?
Well, they say that if you're in the absolute poverty level, that it's going to be subsidized by the other ratepayers. But if you're middle class, there's nothing really for you. It's estimated that it could cost up to $60,000 to do all this. So another thing that they'd have to do, because they want to get to 100% renewables, we'd have to do a solar overbuild. So right now, at the pace that we're going, We're not going to get to 100% renewables anytime. But what they want to do is, you know, they're going to go whole hog into the CLCPA, and they want to use places like Green County to overbuild solar panels so that there's going to be extra electricity, you know, to store it. And then finally, they're going to have to build a massive amount of battery storage. Almost no batteries have been built in this region, but they'd have to build about $1.5 billion of batteries to cover us once they overbuild the solar.
Have they addressed the major safety issues around those storage facilities yet?
Nobody really is, at least where I am and where these people are, you know, the people writing the bill, they're not talking about the fire issues with batteries and the toxic smoke and having to evacuate people. I assume once they propose one battery storage plant in Ulster County, maybe it'll come up, but that hasn't been proposed yet, so it hasn't come up.
How long has this been in the works? Like
this bill, they've been working on this bill for a couple of years now, and they're just coming out with it now because of the crisis of energy costs going up.
Right, so it's just typical New York State government hard at work with not thinking beyond right this minute.
Right, okay. Exactly. So all the stuff I just rattled off costs close to, this is just an estimate based on industry data and a number of filings that different entities have made. This would cost close to $12 billion. And these are just the things that they would be aggressively doing if they had control of the utility. Right now, the utility has to, Central Hudson has to balance, you know, like I said in the previous slide, they're spending a lot of money to try to meet the CLCPA demands, but they can't do it all at once. What they would do is that they would go after it much more aggressively. So if we were to literally do all these things, it's going to cost $39,000 per customer. And if you, let's say if they borrowed money and they bonded it out and they paid it over 30 years, that means that we'd be paying per customer another $1,300 a year.
What was it, 30 years?
Right? Over 30 years, yeah. So in plain math, so that means that what they say is that we're going to let us take over Central Hudson. We're going to save $50 million a year in savings. But if we actually go through the transition exactly the way that we're legally mandated to do so, it's going to cost $393 million a year for 30 years. So that's a gap of $343 million or $1,300 per year per customer over 30 years. So it can't possibly be about saving money. It's about, it's a climate bill. It's not about lowering costs for people. So this is what, you know, one of their economists, one of their big advocates, you know, even he acknowledges it, that we can't get to 100% renewables without massively upgrading the grid. You have to build the grid for it. You will not hit 70% by 2030 unless someone else is paying. And what they mean, you know, the ratepayers ultimately are going to have to pay. All right, so then the next slide, slide 10, even State Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli has addressed this, you know, Democrat, but still, he's acknowledging that when it comes to the climate bill, the CLCPA, the biggest problem is that the true cost of the bill were never considered. So he says, PSC, the Public Service Commission, emphasizes that the consideration of cost was not required in the Climate Act, nor were any sources of funding identified in it. The only source of funding available for PSC comes directly from the ratepayers. So there it is, as clear as possible, that the climate bill, they never figured out how much it's going to cost. It's written to make it come from the ratepayers. So the question of public or private is kind of irrelevant when we're talking about this mandate that we have hanging over all of us. So what's, you know, New York Energy Alliance is doing, the strategy of the people that are pushing this takeover, they're going town by town to the most liberal towns, and they're demanding that they do resolutions in support of their bill. And then when they go back to, up to Albany, they're going to bring all those resolutions and say, hey, look, the city of Kingston, city of Newburgh, New Paltz, Rosendale, they all want us to take over the utility, and Kathy Hochul, you have to let us do it. So, and that's what they're going to do to mislead people in Albany. So what we really need in order to have an equal amount of momentum, we need towns that are skeptical about this to at least refuse to not endorse the plan. And what we're hoping for is for some towns to pass a resolution opposing the false promises of the HVPA, to call for a full review of the CLCPA's true costs, and then finally to demand a sensible pro-growth energy policy. Because public power does not erase costs, it just replaces the profit motive with something else, which is the CLCPA. Next year, the governor's election is coming up, so it's going to be a good time for everybody in Albany to reevaluate if this climate law is actually working, which it's not. So that's it for our part. And I also came here with a couple of people from the IBEW, who are the actual union that are doing the actual work for Central Hudson. And you know, they have an interesting perspective that should be heard about this bill too.
Do we need to stand?
Just state your name.
Pat Mellon, 27 Wildwood Drive, Poughkeepsie, New York. 56-year resident of Hudson Valley. I'm the vice president of Local 320. So just some of the things we'll touch on, the amount of money. So Fortis bought Central Hudson for like $1.2 billion 10 years ago. So Hudson Valley Power Authority would have to buy Central Hudson for, and that money's going to be passed on to taxpayers. The amount of money that Central Hudson puts to our local towns, villages, cities is over $62 million. So our president broke it down to, there's 83 municipalities that Central Hudson is a part of, and it would be, if you broke it down evenly, it'd be like $720 million. Or $720,000 per municipality, and that everyone else would have to make up. Everything that they're doing is going to put more money on the tax-paying people in our families, the people that work at Central Hudson. One of the other issues, the bigger issues that we have, is that there's a 6% cap on bills. So it's 6% of your income is what the max you would pay for your electricity. So they're not telling us how they're going to do it, or what they're going to do is if someone in a lower income uses more than 6% of their income, are they going to get shut off? Are they going to get free electric and the rest of us are going to pay for it? Or what they're going to do? So they have no answers. In Marbletown, Sarah Hanna-Sharessa's chief of staff was overheard in the back of the room talking about the cost of electricity. They cannot honestly say that the cost of electricity will go down. They have no idea where it's going to be. It's hard for them to project how it's going to be moving forward. I know I'm all over the place, but...
No, you're fine.
You know, they talk about getting rid of gas. That's 30% of our workforce. That would get rid of 30% of our workforce.
And a huge part of taxes, too.
Yeah. You know, Central Hudson, you guys know Central Hudson. I'm not here talking on behalf of Central Hudson, but, you know, they pay tax on every piece of, every little pipe in the ground, every pole, every piece of wire in the air, every transformer that sits out there. What else, Jeannie?
Yeah, they haven't said what the pilot payments would be in lieu of what they would lose from Central Hudson.
And there's no guarantee, nothing binding that says that those payments will increase with what you guys would want.
Well, they don't have to give a pilot either.
No.
Yeah.
But they're saying in the bill that they will. So that's their defense for that. But yeah, there's nothing binding that says that they would renegotiate that.
We never make out when it comes to a pilot.
There's issues with, you know, with state-owned, so Puerto Rico is state-owned, and they're in Puerto Rico all the time. They did it in Long Island with Long Island.
Well, that I was going to ask. They've been doing some homework.
Highest-paid utility. You know what I mean? Highest bills for utilities. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been doing some homework, and I discovered Long Island Power Authority has like a hybrid system.
Yeah.
Where they subcontract to PSE&G.
Yep.
But their revenue last year was $3.3 billion.
Yeah.
Long Island Power Authority.
But their bills are also higher than ours.
They are.
Because they are still paying for...
But they're supposedly a non-for-profit government.
Yes.
Right. And I think also the expertise of the union. is going to be sidelined with this, because if you look at the governing structure of the Hudson Valley Power Authority, it is going to emphasize political appointees, climate scientists, professors, activists, and then a couple of union people, you know, as tokens, kind of. So people that actually are accountable to the ratepayers, who know how important it is to keep the lights on 24/7, the heat on. You know, there's going to be a lot more voices there that are going to be saying, oh, you know, our climate goals, you know, our this and that, environmental justice, all this other rigmarole. So, you know, I think that's why the union is not supporting this, is they're going to be sidelined. They're going to lose power with their voice.
Also, in their is there any type of labor costs? Because they can't guarantee Local 320 is going to stay employed by the state.
They will guarantee our contract.
To the end.
To the end of our contract.
Right.
So nothing past that.
Nothing past that. So
what happens to the workforce, though?
They're not saying what's going to happen after the contract.
So you could have 10,000 unemployed members.
Yes. Could have a lot of unemployed people.
One of my biggest concerns is the relationship that the municipality has with the local workers.
Absolutely.
We have a snowstorm or a windstorm, the telephone poles go down, or there's a gas leak. You know, our highway superintendent knows the foreman for gas and electric, so he calls them right away. He's got that one-on-one relationship with them. That's something I don't want the town to lose. That's very important.
You know, we do have contractors on our property. We have their IBEW 1249. They do a lot of our capital construction work. Where they're dedicated crew, and they go out and take care of certain projects. They will be eliminated with this proposal. She's going to get rid of all contractors. So, in essence, it would hurt our infrastructure, like, pretty bad.
Well, one of the points I brought up is New York State's not very good at taking care of its infrastructure.
No.
It takes a year to fix a pothole.
MTA.
So, how, at 9 o'clock at night in a snowstorm, your electricity goes out, you don't have any heat, what's to guarantee that you're going to get your electric back on in a timely manner like Central Hudson currently does?
Well, we're governed by the Public Service Commission.
Right, a lot of people don't understand. That's one thing that I don't think has been advertised properly by Central Hudson or any of the utilities, is that they're governed by a state board that's appointed by our elected representatives. Every line on that bill is dictated by the PSC.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Central Hudson's done a good job bringing that out to people. I don't think any of the utilities have made people realize that your bill is dictated by a commission at the state of New York that approves every dime.
So we had to build a fiasco, or Central Hudson had to build a fiasco. That was mandated by the state to change our antiquated system to something new.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, I mean, it was just awful. And you guys know me. You guys probably heard the horror stories.
Yeah, but we've got some of the bills here.
Yeah, I mean, so you guys were all affected. But it was something that was mandated by the state for Central Hudson to do. And Central Hudson didn't go out and say, well, state means do it. Because, you know what? They have to go back and talk to the Public Service Commission. They have to go back to the state. They have to go back because they're governed by the state to do things
right.
A certain way.
Yeah.
So you can't bite the hand. You know what I mean? It's just... That's why they're probably not putting it out there.
But I think if some people would understand their bill better and understand that it is dictated by a public service commission, they may stop blaming the utility for everything and start looking to their representatives to fix things.
In 2017, Central Hudson did try to get bill transparency. They asked the PSC for permission to put line items on the bill for this climate law, responsible for this amount, this climate law for that, and they were blocked by the PSC. So there's bill confusion now. People have no idea how much of their bill is.
That's something that should be on there. Everybody nowadays, especially, you know, they pound their chest on transparency. That's something that absolutely should be out there.
Yeah. Yep.
That's just a $40 fee for a gas set.
Yep.
You have run to the heater,
yep.
But the heater's not on all summer.
Right.
You pay it anyway.
Yep, exactly.
We appreciate you guys coming. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, this was good.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, let me know if you have any questions.
We'll do.
And you guys aren't held here for the rest of the meeting.
Yeah. Can I come up and thank you guys for your time?
Yeah, yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Have a good holiday.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good holiday.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we have a whole on our website, we have a whole resource page that explains all this. So.
Okay, great.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. Thanks.
Anything else before I open up to the public?
No.
Okay. Mr. Rizzo, you got anything to talk about? I know you do.
I think, and I don't remember now, the initial regulation when we established the 911 system. And I think at that point in time, Harry Sokol was, was the director for that. And I don't recall, or I think I recall, that each home had to have a 911 sign attached, or at least assigned to that home. And I'm not sure whether or not they were also required to have the 911 sign prominently displayed on their property.
Mm-hmm. Close to visible from the road.
You see a lot of things hangs over there.
Plus the fire symbol, VR, whatever it happens
right.
to be.
If you have you can travel through the town and you can see homes that have their 911 sign. So that is a county program right now. It's not a town program. It's
right.
run by the county. So I would call 911 center.
Yep.
And find out whether or not there still is a requirement, or was there ever a requirement that all homes?
I think that's where the confusion's coming from, because
have a 911 sign. I think at the time there was some discussion about having the initial sign paid for by the by the 911 system, but maybe not. I don't recall that, but. If that's a requirement, then that's a county responsibility. It's not a town responsibility. So if the fire companies would like to have certain areas have a 911 sign, they may have to go to the county 911 center and find out exactly what is required for a 911. Sign, but I'm not sure if it's mandated. I know in the village of Catskill, I don't think it is required, but there are homes in the village that still you can find some 911 signs.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of houses in the town of Catskill that do not have 911 signs.
Mm. Right, have 911
or address signs on their houses.
Mm. Right. So in answer to the Pelham Fire Company, I'm not sure whether there is a requirement, a county requirement, to have a 911 sign. That's basically all I can kind of remember about.
Yeah, I'll make a 911
system. Other than it was a real hassle, trying to get that done in the town, but having actually.
Harry did a lot of work on that.
Harry did a lot of work. They had to actually walk every single road in the town to get that 911 system in. And the other, and I'm glad our county legislators are here, I did stop by. I talked to about the project, the ongoing project, which I just found out about. In the Smenton district, and down by Smenton, there's going to be a major study done to provide economic development in that area, Alston, Smenton, and I was wondering if the town was aware of that, and. I couldn't remember exactly when that got started, although Mike indicated to me that may have been started when I was supervisor, but it's been a while, and I was just mentioning to him that in the resolution it said formally in the town of Catskill, but I think that was just That was just a misprint. I thought maybe that Sorgheys had taken over part of Smenton Olsen and some of those areas. Are you aware of that project?
We are aware of the project. We're aware of the grant that the county received to do that study.
And
we've had
a grant.
Oh, the grant.
We've had a couple meetings with the county.
Oh, okay. Because that was the first that discussion has come up.
Yep.
Or at least formally. I think they passed it tonight, right? To hire somebody to do that grant proposal?
Pat, on that, on the monies that's going to be used to do this survey and study, which we'll do via seeker, everything, it's actually county funds. The bigger, once this survey and study is done, then there's major monies available for industrial development grants.
Oh, we were told you got $1.2 million for that study.
No, what it was back, I had talked to Joe and I had said that years and years ago, the county received a settlement for something, an amount of $700,000, some 700-something thousand. Their share, I don't know if it was smoking, the tobacco settlement.
Okay.
They put that aside in a fund balance, and it's grown through the years. Okay. So it's just around over a million in the fund balance. Now they're going to do this study because the main reason is all three principal landowners are interested in development. So, but as of now, it's actually county funds.
Okay, even better.
It wasn't taxpayer funds, it was from some settlement they received years and years ago.
Mm. Okay.
So I was curious because I've not seen that come up before, although Matt indicated to me that it was discussed at one of the committee meetings last week, Matt?
Well, it's been discussed a couple times, but Monday was a very lengthy discussion.
Yeah, and
go watch it on YouTube.
Yep. And like I said, Brian and I met with county individuals, and we passed it on to the board. We knew about it.
So you are aware of it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And it's not in Saugerties, right?
It's not in Saugerties.
It's not in Saugerties. Not yet. That's what they want to pay us for it. How much do they want to pay us for?
And the other question I have is, do you have an update on the Amblin study?
We're still working through it. The town's stance remains the same, that our two main priorities are the residents of the town of Catskill and our employees. There hasn't been a proposal that we feel 100% comfortable with yet to say whether we're for or against it.
And any feedback from any other towns at all? Any sense of what they're thinking?
Aside from what you can read on Facebook, no. We're all still at the table. Everybody's still very interested. We all see that there is an issue in the EMS world. Mm-hmm. We're trying to work together to come up with a solution that will work best for the town of Catskill and the residents of the county.
Because you know where my heart is.
Yes.
Yep. Same place all of ours is.
Yeah. Yep.
Same place all of ours is.
Okay. That's all I have to say. Thank you. Okay. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks for coming. Anybody else?
Oh, and hate to see you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. They always going to hate to see you go.
Just wanted to make sure everybody got that email from Martha Barn from the state regarding the pocket park of the use and occupancy permit.
Yep.
Update on that.
Now we have to get a work permit. That's our next step before we can do anything.
Yeah, highway work permit. Otherwise, that's all I got.
Okay, with that, I need a motion to go into executive session to include Matt Lavera, Mike Lenuto, Mike Bulich, and that's it. This is for a personnel issue discussing possible issues with our ambulance employees.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.